And our text was the second part of the reading this evening from Luke chapter 2. But I'm not going to read it. You've already heard it. A computer magazine displayed this advertisement, which depicted a woman's early encounter with a Christmas present. "I can't stand secrets. My husband and kids always hide my presents because they know I'll try to sneak a peek if I can. This year was no exception. I waited until they were all asleep, then padded down the hallway, crept down the stairs very quietly. Yikes, remember the step and second step creaks. And, oh wow, hooray, it's a next generation iPad. I didn't care if the whole family heard me. Did I feel like a kid again? You bet. Thanks, Apple. This has been the best holiday ever in the whole wide world." We've strayed a long way from the first Christmas that we were reading about in that scripture, haven't we? This woman's encounter with the new gadget brought forth praise for the computer company. She wasn't even praising her family. But what a different spirit she had from that of the shepherds that first Christmas. They returned from the fields, it says, glorifying and praising God after having seen the Christ child. Now, lest we look for some supernatural inspiration like the shepherds, let us remind ourselves that our most common encounters with the Lord are during our everyday routine. Let me say that again. Our most common encounters with the Lord take place in our everyday routine. And actually, that was the shepherds' case as well. Because in verse 8, you find that they were just minding their business, taking care of their sheep, probably figuring how long before we get our next vacation. When, bam, the sky lit up like fireworks, an angel appeared and talked to them, and a gazillion angels followed up by shouting praises to God. Now, what is the purpose of such encounters, and how do we open up our heart's door to them? Well, a look at the shepherds reveals two answers, and the first one is this. Divine encounters reveal Christ to us. They're not primarily meant for our feelings. They're meant to reveal Christ to us. What was the purpose of the angel's encounter with the shepherds? First of all, in verse 9, the angel wanted to give them courage because they were terrified. You know, touched by an angel and the shows that we historically have showed angels haven't given us an accurate picture. Because in Scripture, whenever an angel showed up, the people were terrified. It wasn't, "Here's my buddy." It's, "Here's a message coming. And this is someone I got to pay attention to." But the first thing you find angels saying here and all through Scripture is, "Do not be afraid." They wanted to give them courage, for they were terrified. And then the angel wished them to bring them joyous good news. "For you today is born good news in the city of David. A Savior is Christ the Lord." So that tells us his primary purpose also was to tell them that their Savior had been born. And fourthly, he gave them directions in verse 12 of how to find Jesus. And finally, he and all the angels intended to bring the shepherds and all people new joy and peace. Let me give you those five again. The angel wanted to give them courage because they were afraid. He wished them joy, brought them joyous good news. He told them that a Savior had been born. He gave directions how they could find Jesus. And then he wanted them to have new joy and peace. Now, it's the same with us. The divine encounters are not primarily designed for our own good feelings, but for our own advancement spiritually. For the presence of the Lord replaces fear with courage. How many times do you see, we are told in the New Testament, "Do not be afraid, fear not"? Because the presence of the Lord replaces fear. Fear is actually the opposite of faith, because we don't realize the goodness and the graciousness of God. Secondly, the Savior guides us to abide with him in joy and peace as we learn to glorify and give praise to him. As we come to know Jesus Christ as our Savior, he brings us peace with God and the peace of God. And so you get joy and you get peace. And thirdly, how many times have we missed these spiritual boosts by not looking for them? For God wants to reveal more of himself to us. He doesn't want us to get towards the end of our life saying, what was God really like? He wants us who met him at 10 or 15 or 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 in an encounter, a crisis encounter of faith and trust, to say, I know him. I know what he's like. I know he's walked with me. And I know what it means to me. One of the most favorite hymns of all people is, for he walks with me, he talks with me, he tells me I'm his own. And the joy we share as I tarry there, none other's ever known. But others do know that. God wants to reveal more of himself to us, which results in our becoming more like Christ. The more we desire him, the more we know him, the more by his grace we become like him. So first of all, divine encounters reveal Christ to us. They're not primarily meant to give us a spiritual boost that's self-fulfilling, but to bring us to a greater knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, the second point is how we open our hearts by acknowledging that God in the following ways. And there are three. By first of all, watching diligently for divine encounters. The shepherds were only watching their flocks, but they were obediently doing what they were supposed to do. And those flocks were the ones that were used for the sacrifices in Jerusalem. So they had a special responsibility. They were only watching their flocks, but they were prepared to listen. You go back into the Old Testament, Moses, another shepherd, was not looking for a burning bush when he was out there in the wilderness. But in a sense, he stumbled across God's holy fire, but he recognized it and went towards it. We too can watch for God in the routine. In this last year in Quebec, you have seen that they've passed a law that Quebec is a secular society and there will be no religious symbols. Quebec has only done what the rest of Canada really believes. But we are carried along by the people who surround us in developing their attitudes. And I'm saying to you and to me, you need to have eyes that are tuned to divine encounters. That God is present every day. And there are times in which, in the ordinary things of life, he is going to speak to you and show you what you need to do, what you need to know, how you can know him better. So first of all, watch diligently for divine encounters. Do not think that things happen by luck. I have removed the word luck from my vocabulary, and I get pretty anxious, angry with people, Christians who still use the word luck. It's God's providence, God's care, and God will reveal himself. So first of all, watch diligently for divine encounters. Secondly, listen intently for the Lord's message in the encounter. When you know it's God speaking, when you know God's doing something in the encounter, he wants you to learn something. Often he's going to do it by making the pages of Scripture come alive to you in that moment of time. But his Holy Spirit will make you know what he wants you to know. Listen intently to the Lord's message. So first of all, be ready to listen in the divine, into the ordinary. And be ready to listen intently to what the Lord wants to say. But thirdly, then act deliberately on God's instructions. If you've been in this church for a while, you know that you've heard me say that if God says jump, the question isn't why, it's how high. Listen intently, obey what he says. And then fourthly, praise joyfully for what we've heard and seen his working in our lives. The value of Christmas and the value of coming to a new year season is that you can do some looking back in your lifetime. And when you do that with spiritual eyes, you should be able to see, if you've walked with God so far, he was there. He helped me here. I can see that there. And I got to where I am today because there were all these divine encounters, all these little things.
all the way through life. And then you praise joyfully, for you don't fear. You know who knows tomorrow, and we know who holds our hand. There was a poem by Charles Wesley that was the only hymn accepted in the Church of England's Book of Common Prayer, and it was by mistake. The book's printer did not know that the church did not like Wesley's hymns. He needed some space filled, so he printed the hymn as a poem. And when the error was discovered, there were attempts made to remove it. But the poem was so popular, it was allowed to remain. Written in 1738, it still moves us. It was the hymn we sang, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing." The Lord Jesus has given divine appointments for us every day, even at Christmas time, when the routine takes a temporary deviation from the norm. He wants to reveal himself to us and through us to others during this special season, as we, along with the angels and shepherds, shout, "Glory to the newborn King." So don't be shy in bringing your praises to him, and don't be shy in sharing them. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful to you that you, the King of the universe, the Lord of all creation, made a deliberate choice to humble yourself and take the form of human, coming as this vulnerable baby through the means of Mary, to give your life on the cross of Calvary to forgive us our sins. And we pray that we will be willing and anxious and desirous of not only meeting with you when you show up in the everyday affairs of life, but in hearing what you have to say to us and helping us obey what you show us to do. And we pray that as we celebrate your coming, we'll recognize that you are in our lives because of our faith and our trust in you. And that will make a difference for how we live, how we act, and what we understand. We ask this in your holy name. Amen.